Welcome along to Baptist Voice for March. Thoughts and prayers for all those folk affected by February's storms and floods. Typical is Hope Baptist Church in Hebden Bridge, who've had to get the mops and buckets out again so soon after their last inundation. For the time being, the pub next door is providing their accommodation. More about that shortly. Through it all, their faith and trust in God's providence shines through. I'm sure they'll enjoy our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, number 329 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Thanks as always to our friends from the Northern Baptist Association for such a rousing start. All the gang are here to bring your usual roundup of the goings-on in the Baptist world. In charge of music news, it's Phil, and on keyboards ready to share a tune is Gareth. And looking over his shoulder, I see Old Glory Praise and Honour is the music on the stand. Lindsay is rattling around the regions. Katie's keeping an eye on the colleges, whilst Claire keeps us up to date on the valuable work being done by Christian Aid. Lucy is taking care of the young folk. Overseeing all and keeping us under control is Stephen, our chaplain. We start off with news from the Union and the final member of our team, Andrea.
A Baptist church was among the buildings hit by recent flooding in Yorkshire. The cellar, chapel and community rooms of Hope Chapel, the home of Hope Baptist Church in Hebden Bridge, were flooded in early February during Storm Ciara. Church members had to remove carpets from the chapel, organise water to be pumped out of the cellar and mop all the floors. They were able to open the building a week later for a live music performance that raised more than £600 for the local flood relief fund. The road in front of the building had been submerged in 7 feet of water. Members of the church are now meeting in the temporary home they decamped to last time when the building suffered extensive flood damage in 2015. It's the White Lion Pub. It's where we go to when we're flooded, said Gerald Liston, writing in the church's Facebook group. The restoration work is expected to last several weeks. Elsewhere, Baptists have been supporting community relief efforts. The West Midlands has been hit hard by the flooding. The flood defences in Upton-on-Severn have thankfully held up. If breached, the building and manse of Upton Baptist Church would be affected, but many homes have still been affected. The church's minister, Amy Waring, has been offering support to flood-hit families. Amy and her two children were highlighted in a news report after offering homemade biscuits to people dealing with the flood defences and others. Putsam Baptist Church in a suburb of Hereford opened its doors to offer sanctuary to anyone needing support or a place to go. Coed-Penmaen Community Church near Pontypridd in South Wales was also used by the local council as an emergency centre. And Ilford Baptist Church in Bournemouth served as an evacuation centre following Storm Dennis. "We were just glad we could help and give them warmth and a cup of tea," said their minister, Johnny Hedges.
Tributes have been paid to British Baptist and Global Ambassador Paul Montacute, who has died in Virginia, USA, after a long illness. Paul was involved in youth work in his early ministry. He became National Youth Officer for the Baptist Union of Great Britain and was one of the key organisers of the Baptist World Alliance Youth Conference in Glasgow, Scotland, in 1988. After that, he moved to the USA to head up the BWA youth work before becoming Director of Baptist World Aid for many years. David Coffey, the former BWA President and Baptist Union of Great Britain General Secretary, was a friend of Paul's, having worked closely with him over many years. He paid this tribute. If anyone merited the title Global Ambassador, it was Paul Montacute. For decades, he travelled the globe serving as a Baptist representative who was willing to network with any who shared his passion for justice, peace and equality. To Paul's wife, Judith, their two sons and their families, we extend our condolences and our prayers for God's love to surround them at this time.
Northern Baptist College and the Light Project College have agreed to enter into a new partnership to form evangelists and pioneers as nationally accredited Baptist ministers. The two colleges look forward to welcoming the first new cohorts of ministers in training in September 2020. Students will complete their academic studies with the Light Project College. They will also join with other Baptist ministers in training from Luther King House in Manchester, St Hild in Sheffield and Cranmer Hall in Durham for further ministerial formation through NBC's Baptist Leadership Programme, tutorial supervision and placement in a Baptist context. Chris Duffett, co-principal of the Light Project College and former president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, said, "Over the last few years, more and more churches within our Baptist Together family have asked me about ministers who have the gift and call for pioneer ministry. They want leaders to help them reach out creatively to their communities." Claire McBeath, co-principal of Northern Baptist College, said, "NBC has a long history of equipping those whom God has called into Baptist ministry. We also have a strong track record when it comes to creative approaches to learning. We are delighted about this latest development and are really looking forward to working in partnership with the Light Project."
At Through the Roof's Disability Inclusion in Our Churches event in Ashton in February, we heard Jo Cooper tell her story of how God broke into her life through tragic circumstances to restore joy and hope to her. The power of Jo's testimony was a reminder of how God uses disabled people to reach into areas and situations that those of us without that lived experience can't reach. She shared with us how her walker has become a tool for evangelism. Wherever she goes, it becomes a vehicle for her to share her testimony and tell others how wonderful Jesus is. Jo had been brought up in a Christian home but had gone away from the faith of her parents, finding church boring and wanting to do her own thing. She got involved with motorbikes and became involved in a relationship with a biker. Together they had a daughter. They decided to go travelling. But after only a few weeks while staying in a caravan in Greece, he made an error while adjusting the gas fire for cooking, which resulted in a massive gas explosion. Tragically, their little girl lost her life and Jo was very badly injured. She still retains the effects of her injuries. She's blind, deaf in one ear and has problems with mobility, needing a walker to move around independently. Jo shared how she had been very angry but has received inner healing from having Jesus living in her life after she met a Christian biker. Life isn't fair. Yes, Jo agreed that it isn't. But the hope and joy that she holds on to is that she has the whole of eternity to make up for it. To hear more challenging stories from disabled speakers, book into one of their upcoming Disability Inclusion in Our Churches events in Edinburgh on the 29th of February, Manchester on the 14th of March and Bristol 21st of March. For more information, visit https://throughtheroof.org/forchurches/events.
And we move on now to youth news with Lucy, and she starts us off in the Reigate area of Surrey.
Here's a youth event not to be missed, especially if you live in the Reigate area of Surrey. On March the 21st, the Christian rapper Governor B is holding an event at Reigate Baptist Church. You meet at 5pm for a talk, a question and answer session, a discussion, and then break for food. That will be followed by a set from Governor B himself, all for a fiver and finishing at 8:30 in the evening. Governor B will be supported by DJ Dan Sterry and his wife, Emma Bourquet, who's a writer and founder of Girl Got Faith. Governor B is on tour throughout April, visiting Gateshead, Brighton, Norwich, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, Manchester, Birmingham, and finishing up in London on the 3rd of May. Check out on Google for details of the venues, dates and timings, or for the event in Reigate, go to www.reigatebaptistchurch.org.uk. Stress, anxiety and depression are a major and sadly growing problem in the lives of young people these days, and the church is not immune. At the South Eastern Baptist Association, they've put together a morning of training to enable you to better see the signs and know how to help. The trainer, Jenny Osborne, is very well equipped to lead the day, having worked in this field for many years and also having written the Grove book entitled Mental Health and Young People, Improving Mental Health Awareness in Youth Work. This is a big area, and Jenny will bring her wealth of knowledge alongside her desire to urge those involved in caring for vulnerable young people to follow Jesus' example by looking beyond the illness to the person beneath. That's on Saturday the 25th of April from 10am to 1pm at the Eden Church, the Eden Centre, 4 Elms Road, Eden Bridge, TN8 6BY, and the cost is £20. To book your place, please email maeve@sebabaptist.org.uk or phone 01903 814 265. Maeve is spelt M-A-V-E. Scripture Union are well known for their holidays and summer camps. This year, and you'd better pray for better weather than we've been having of late, they've a new Easter adventure holiday, the Edale Challenge. Edale is in the heart of the Peak District. This weekend will be full of opportunities to take part in activities, make new friends, have lots of fun, and learn more about Jesus. The Edale Challenge will be suitable for children who are new to SU holidays or are seasoned pros. It's perfect for any children your church has contact with. A leader can come with them, or if you'd rather, you can just drop them off with the SU's experienced, checked and vetted holiday team. Edale Challenge is a weekend full of activities, fun and opportunities to learn more about Jesus. There will be fencing, bushcraft, the climbing wall and campfires, as well as games, sports, crafts and loads of laughter. We'll also dig deeper into the Easter story and explore what it means for us today. A great way to start the Easter week. Come and join the fun, they say. What's more, Scripture Union also have grants available for those children who really cannot afford the full cost of the weekend. It runs from the 3rd to the 5th of April at the Peak Centre in Hope Valley, and the cost is £78. Book on the Scripture Union website. Just type Scripture Union into Google and search for Edale Challenge. Horizons is the online training programme for those involved as volunteers in youth work in churches. It consists of 4 units, each with 6 modules, focusing on a major youth-related topic. A module will take around 60 to 90 minutes to complete and is based on the participant's own experience and current practice. Each participant who enrols in the programme is accompanied through the course by an experienced mentor. And now, for the first time, UK mentors are now available. They include the Reverend Bob Morris, Youth and Children's Pastor at Cirencester Baptist Church, who is working alongside the Baptist Union of Great Britain to make the course available in the UK. He said, "I wholeheartedly commend the Horizons Leadership course. Having completed it myself during my recent sabbatical, I believe that it is the most accessible and usable course available." To register, visit www.ebfyc.org.
Lucy will be back again later with more news from the youth scene. Meantime, the Scottish Baptist College Open Day 2020 this year is on the 12th of March between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you're thinking about studying theology but not too sure what happens next, go along to the Scottish Baptist College's Open Day and find out more. Scottish Baptist College is in room E303, Henry Building East, University of the West of Scotland, Paisley, PA1 2BE.
News from our regional offices now, and Lindsay starts off with news from Hertfordshire.
David Russell, Senior Minister of North Church Baptist Church, reports on how the church was invited to support a local schools initiative. He says one of the benefits of what some have called a long service in the same direction, being somewhere for a long time, is that you have a great opportunity to build strong, resilient relationships with the wider community. As a church leader in the post for 23 years, I have been able to spend a lot of time in local schools, working with teachers and the kids, also youth clubs and other local groups. As a result of this, a good conversation with local schools in the area, NBC has been able in the past to run after-school clubs, assemblies, lessons, and more recently, helping the schools and groups to intervene with vulnerable families with food, furniture, care, and resources. A brilliant scheme that the school came up with is called Cook, Eat, Play. On Wednesday, the 5th of February, a group of us from NBC went to Westfield Primary School. Together with Parol Dees, their pastoral support leader, we held a Let's Cook, Eat and Play session. 8 families from the school were selected and invited, so mums, dads, older and younger siblings attended, about 25 people in all. Each family was supported in preparing a simple and nutritious meal, pasta and sauce, salad and pudding, and given the opportunity to decorate a canvas as a keepsake. We chatted with the families, some of us have learnt how to make garlic bread, and we learnt how to operate the school's very snazzy dishwasher. It was a great opportunity to support families from the community and encourage them to spend time together cooking, chatting and eating. The school were really grateful for our support and all of the families really enjoyed the session. At the end of last year, New Adlington Baptist Church in Croydon had a special weekend of celebration to mark 20 years since the beginning of its Community Family Project. The Community Family Project operates as an umbrella for the church's programme of community care and action. Saturday morning saw a Have a Go showcase of all the groups that are currently part of the project and the significant work that is done week by week to serve and walk with people in the community. The church invited former Minister Phil Jump, who developed the vision of the project 20 years ago, to help to share some of the story and to lead the Sunday service alongside current Minister Claire Nichols. It all began when Phil visited a congregation member who had some challenges in her life. As he sat with her, he observed how her and her neighbours in the small group of homes around, all different, all with their own needs, worked together to support one another in whatever was needed for each of them to face what life was throwing at them. A community that was more like a family, where each one needed each other. It was through this observation that the seed of the Community Family Project grew. Joe Brown, current family project worker, told the story of one client who came to the project broken and with poor mental health, unable to cope with life very well. Through the groups that she became part of and the relationships that were built between her and the team, her life has been transformed. It was through the work of the project that she discovered the love of Jesus, and she shared during the service on Sunday morning how the greatest thing she had ever seen is the significant impact that the project has made on her and others' lives. She still struggles with her mental health, but knows that whatever happens, God will sustain her, and that through her church family, she will feel his embrace as they stand and help hold her together. Aslan is the minister for those with additional needs at Tonbridge Baptist Church and features a highly regarded website full of free Sunday school resources. Jackie Potter shared their story in Baptist Times. Imagine what it might be like to be a child or young person who is part of a family who go to church regularly, whose needs means he or she is unable to engage in anything that is on offer. Imagine how the family is impacted when one parent has to stay home to support the child, while the others go and happily join in with a church service or peer group activity. This was the challenge presented to us at Tonbridge Baptist Church in 2013. We were aware that Jay, a 14-year-old boy with autism who had been supported one-to-one in the children's Sunday school groups, was now at an age where there was nothing available for him that would suit his particular needs. After much prayer and discussion, a decision was made to set up a separate group for children with special needs, and our first session was on Easter Sunday 2013. Initially, it was very small, just Jay, plus a few interested adults who were keen to support him. As someone involved from the start, I soon began to imagine how this ministry could develop, and I was excited about the future. I knew from many years of teaching in special education that there was an expectation in school for anyone of any ability to be able to be engaged and learn. It was up to us to find creative ways to tap into their potential. I knew that God was challenging me to apply the same standard in church and to look to him for inspiration and guidance. There are now 8 regulars in the group, and later this year it's planned to add a section for adults to the website.
Thank you, Lindsay. More from the regions later, but for now it's time to break for some music. Professor Gareth is at the keyboard and he plays for us now All Glory, Praise and Honour, number 216 in Baptist Praise and Worship.
And Claire is just moving in front of the microphone to bring us news from Christian Aid.
Christian Aid welcomes the new appointment of 8 members to the United Nations Secretary General's Antonio Guterres High-Level Panel on Internal Displacement. Christian Aid's Senior Advisor on Humanitarian Policy and Advocacy, Jane Backhurst, said, "It is a great privilege to speak at the inaugural meeting of the UN Secretary General's High-Level Panel on Internal Displacement in Geneva, a panel that Christian Aid has called for since 2017. It's a welcome move forward to address the global problem of internal displacement at a time when the number of people forced from their homes is the highest since World War II. We are incredibly thankful to Christian Aid supporters for their ongoing activism to raise awareness and back our calls to protect the millions of people who've been displaced through conflict, violence and climate change. The situation in Idlib, northwest Syria, is at breaking point, with at least 900,000 civilians displaced through shelling from the Russian military and Syrian government since December. The Syrian conflict is nearing its 10th year, and camps housing internally displaced people, IDPs, remain underfunded and well past capacity. Approximately 1.8 million people are internally displaced in South Sudan as a result of ongoing conflict and violence that has killed an estimated 400,000 people during the past 6 years. Climate change also continues to be a major driver in displacement, with millions forced from their homes in eastern Africa following Cyclone Idai and Cyclone Kenneth. The panel has 1 year to deliver, and we are hopeful that it will ultimately help rally states to listen to communities affected by internal displacement, so that they drive humanitarian action, are better protected, and can build their resilience. Rory Stewart, the former Secretary of State for International Development, has told the audience at a Christian Aid event that Britain retains a moral obligation to help people who are much, much poorer than those in the UK, and declared, "I am not a charity starts at home person." Mr. Stewart, who was speaking in front of hundreds of people at a church in central London, praised the work of Christian Aid, the UK-based international NGO which hosted the event and which is this year marking its 75th year. He said, "If you don't support Christian Aid, you should support Christian Aid. It is a very, very good organisation. It's a very good organisation because it's good at doing development projects in other people's countries. But it's also a good organisation because it keeps a very good grassroots connection to British citizens and people here in Britain." Also speaking at the event, Christian Aid's chief executive, Amanda Cozy Mukwashi, said, "As Christian Aid, having been working in this area of relief and development for the last 75 years, we are connected both here in the UK, but also in the communities that we work in. And even when it's really difficult, we have stayed the course." Christian Aid has welcomed news that Anne-Marie Tavelian has become the new Secretary of State for International Development. Patrick Watt, Christian Aid's Director of Policy, Public Affairs and Campaigns, said, "We welcome the appointment of Anne-Marie Tavelian as the new Secretary of State for the Department for International Development. DFID is one of the world's most effective aid donors. We hope that she will be a powerful advocate for its continued poverty focus and for its independence. We live in a world where hundreds of millions of people suffer from extreme poverty, conflict and climate crisis. The need for the UK to demonstrate leadership in confronting these challenges is as urgent as ever. It's critically important that DFID retains a seat at the cabinet table and continues to be the main channel for UK aid. The watchdog set up to scrutinise aid, the Independent Commission for Aid Impact, shows that DFID gives much better value for money than the aid channelled through other parts of government. As one of the world's richest nations, it's unquestionably right that we should stand by the 0.7% aid target agreed at the UN. We hope that Ms. Trevelyan will join the fight to keep Britain's promises to the world's poorest people." Christian Aid has responded to the announcement from the Bishop of Salisbury, Nick Holton, that the Church of England plans to make its 40,000 church buildings carbon neutral by 2045. Patrick Watt, Director of Policy and Public Affairs at Christian Aid, said, "It's a welcome first step to see the church committing to make its buildings carbon neutral by 2045. However, the National Farmers Union plans for its entire sector to be net zero by 2040 and the UK water industry by 2030. Currently, the Church of England has plans to be net zero by no sooner than 2050, the same date as the UK as a whole. On matters of morality and injustice, the Church should be at the forefront, modelling a prophetic vision that gives hope to the poor and voiceless. People suffering at the hands of the climate crisis in the global south, including millions of Christian sisters and brothers, need institutions in the rich world to move rapidly to cut emissions." the year of the Lambeth Conference, when Anglican bishops from across the globe meet, would be a good time to announce the church will commit not just its buildings, but its entire operation, including investments and land holdings, will go net zero, with a focus on avoiding emissions by at least 2045. In fact, the General Synod of the Church of England, meeting recently, has brought the date forward to 2030.
Claire, with news from Christian Aid, and when she returns, she'll have more news from Christian Aid and its role in combating climate change.
The Wildfires Festival 2020 this year is on Monday the 25th to Wednesday the 27th of May at Whiston House, West Sussex. Wildfires is a festival where friends from different streams, churches and communities come together to seek God and fan into flame the next great awakening. More information, http://wildfiresfestival.com.
Let's hear what's happening in our colleges now. Here's Katie.
Spurgeon's College has just entered into a partnership with Anderson University, South Carolina's largest private university. This partnership is a first for Anderson University and currently the only partnership Spurgeon's College has in the United States. Dr. Ryan Neal, Provost of the university, said that we are excited to enter into this partnership with a quality sister institution in the UK, and look forward to many opportunities for joint programmes that will serve students of both institutions. Dr. Michael Dudjewitt, Dean of the University's Clamp Divinity School, commented that London is an ideal setting for the next generation of ministry leaders to learn about sharing the gospel in a cross-cultural setting. The Reverend Professor Philip McCormack, Principal of Spurgeon's College, said that our partnership with Anderson University and Clamp Divinity School is full of exciting possibilities and potential opportunities for students and members of faculty of both institutions. Our Bristol College, in conjunction with the Southern Counties Baptist Association, is organising a series of events throughout the South and West to help church members understand better how to nurture faith in young children. Claire Hooper, SCBA's Children's, Youth and Families Minister, is coordinating the events. Drawing on a breadth of research, this training explores what we can learn about faith development so that we can meaningfully share the good news of Jesus with children and young people. The cost is £10 for the whole day, refreshments included, but please bring your own lunch, or £5 per session. The session is being delivered throughout the year at a variety of Baptist churches in locations that will allow you to attend one close to you. To book your place, please email atkinsons@bristol-baptist.ac.uk. St Hild College is a pioneering theological institution for Yorkshire and the surrounding regions. It has been formed by the merger of the Yorkshire Ministry Course and St Barnabas Theological Centre. Their training combines rigorous academic theology and mission-focused Christian practice in a community of shared learning. They offer undergraduate and postgraduate awards through Durham University. To learn more about the college, they've arranged an open day for March the 16th at the Barnabas Teaching Centre. Their open days give prospective students the opportunity to see teaching, meet students and talk with staff. Visitors are invited to join them for breakfast from 8:30 a.m, followed by worship, teaching sessions and the opportunity for an interview. You can download the St Hild prospectus at www.sthild.org or to book a place at the open day, email enquiries@sthild.org. This year's Whitley Lectures are to be given by Reverend Robert Parker. Robert has been the minister of Didsbury Park Baptist Church, Manchester, since 2007. Before that, he led churches elsewhere in the north of England and in the United States. For this year's lecture, Robert writes, "Are Baptist churches sometimes guilty of unwitting anti-Judaism? What is the state of play for Baptist-Jewish relations? This lecture will examine these and similar questions. The lecture will go on tour around the UK. On Thursday the 12th of March, there's a symposium at Luther King House, the home of the Northern Baptist College, between 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. The theme of the symposium is ageing and spirituality. There is an opportunity to share current or recent research in areas relating to ageing, faith, and spirituality, and aims to bring together researchers and reflective practitioners. To book a place, please contact Luther King House Registry Office. Telephone number 0161 249 2504, or use their online form from the website. To book overnight accommodation, please contact Luther King House Reception. Telephone number 0161 224 6404.
Thanks, Katie, and more from the colleges in a little while.
There's a small churches network day on Saturday the 21st of March between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. at Anchorage Attleborough Baptist Church, The Green at Nuneaton, CV 11 4JZ. It's been organised by the Heart of England Association and the leader is the Reverend Ali Bolton. The cost is £5 per person, including lunch, and to book you need to email Sharon at baptist-heartofengland.org.
Phil has been hunting out music news now for you and has news of a duo doing great things in the west of England.
Luke Wareham and Rachel Mason are worship leaders and songwriters based in the southwest. They have a passion for writing songs that lead people into the presence of God, that help people fix their eyes on Jesus and to experience afresh the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Well, their prayer is that their songs will bring hope to a broken world, speaking prophetically the truth of Jesus into everyday life situations. Luke is a worship leader and songwriter who works on the staff team at Woodlands Church in Bristol and has led worship at various Christian conferences. Rachel is a multi-award-winning songwriter who's appeared on television and radio and regularly judges international competitions. Both Luke and Rachel also frequently lead worship at Clevedon Baptist Church in North Somerset. Well, on the 10th of January, Luke and Rachel released their debut single, Whisper. Luke says that he wrote Whisper whilst reflecting on 1 Kings. He believes that even when the enemy seems loud in our lives, even when we're filled with panic and doubt, a whisper from God changes everything. And Whisper is to be the title track from their EP, which is currently in production and due to be released any day now.
I
Luke and Rachel's music is available to stream and download on all music platforms, and their lyrics videos are on the YouTube channel.
Thank you, Phil, and let's hope Luke and Rachel get the recognition they deserve. Time to look overseas now and hear what's happening on the international scene.
Steve Locke reported in Baptist Times on Connect 2020, the recent youth and children's conference of the European Baptist Federation, which took place in Estonia in January. The European Baptist Federation is comprised of approximately 800,000 members in 60 member bodies in 52 countries. The Youth and Children's Department exists to envision, encourage and equip people to find their God-given vision to lead and manage this work and support them. Erki Tamm, the president of the Estonian Baptist Union, welcomed us using John 21, verse 22. You must follow me. Before we can be sent out, we need to become disciples ourselves. He reminded us that we want to be a Jesus-following movement, asking the question, what does God want us to do in our own countries? Eniki Pilli, the rector of the Estonian Baptist Seminary, where the conference was held, then pointed us to three never stops. Never stop dreaming, never stop praying, never stop playing. There is always something more, is the seminary's motto. God has given us that extra something for us and for our countries. The vision of the EBF is to unite Europe, the Middle East and Central Asia, and to share encouragement across borders. And the theme of this year's youth conference was to connect that vision. There's a full report in the online Baptist Times. The next BF Youth and Children's Leaders Conference is the 14th to the 19th of January 2021 in Sofia in Bulgaria.
Ahead of International Women's Day on the 8th of March, BMS World Mission is celebrating great women past and present. With the help of BMS World Mission workers Louise Lynch in Bangladesh and Laura Lee Lovering in Peru, we're taking you back in time to remember the incredible women in mission history. Brave BMS missionaries made history in the 19th and 20th centuries, setting off courageously for places they'd only read about, travelling for months to reach the shores of India, Bangladesh or China. Many didn't plan on making it back. We've heard the stories of great men like William Carey and William Knibb, but what about the women? We asked two of our missionary workers what they made of these extraordinary and all too often forgotten women.
First, Hannah Marshman, 1767 to 1847. Outstanding among the wives. Noted as being outstanding among the missionaries' wives, Hannah Marshman was more than just a wonderful spouse, as remembered in her obituary. Recorded as being the first female missionary in India, this passionate woman single-handedly set up a boarding school and became a pioneer of education for Bengali girls. The school went on to fund Baptist missionary work in the area. All this while becoming fluent in Bengali and having 12 children. Hannah Marshman died in 1847, remembered as having consecrated her life and property to the promotion of this sacred cause and exhibited an example of humble piety and energetic benevolence for 47 years.
Second, Dr. Ellen Farrer, 1865 to 1959, the first in her field. Overcoming the prejudice faced by working women of the era, Dr. Ellen Farrer began to challenge society's disapproval when she was accepted by the Baptist Zenana Mission in India as its first female doctor. The mission reached out to Hindu women from the wealthier classes who were secluded in Zenanas, private apartments to segregate female family members from the rest of society. She soon won the trust and love of these women who preferred to be seen by a female doctor. Administering aid during a famine, fighting annual outbreaks of the bubonic plague, expanding the dispensary she worked at into a hospital, and translating textbooks for nurses and midwives, just some of Ellen's achievements during her incredible lifetime in India. International Women's Day is on March the 8th.
Benon Kayanja is a BMS worker surrounded by people who are still struggling years on from the conflict in Uganda that saw the deaths of 100,000 people and displaced 2 million others. Every day he sees people who are dealing with effects of poverty, who can't get a job, who can't provide for their families. Benon oversees BMS World Mission Work in Uganda, his home country, where he serves as an international mission worker. He makes sure that the various projects BMS supports there run smoothly, from hooking up rural churches with solar panels to teaching people how to make charcoal. His work has changed the lives of people living in poverty and has brought stability to people dealing with the aftermath of war. And yet, Benon Kayanja does not save people, because Benon has a passion for one project in particular. It's called Village Savings Group, VSG, and they exist to provide an income to people in rural communities. "I have a lot of passion for financial inclusion," says Benon. "I want to make it possible for communities away from cities to have easier access to finance." But for anyone concerned that all this sounds rather mercenary, the VSG do so much more than just give people money. Take Andrew's story, for instance. When he first joined his local group, he didn't have a job and had no way to provide for his family. He heard about his local VSG through his church and knew that it could change his life. To join the group, Andrew had to raise some money to put into a shared fund. Right from the off, he was investing in the scheme with his own money and investing in the other people in the group who were now, in a way, his business partners. He invested to improve his life and the lives of his community with it.
We know that many faithful members of the BMS family in the UK have prayed for more young people in France to be transformed by Jesus' love since we asked you to remember them. And we're delighted to report that it's happening. French Christian Youth Camp Connection took off in October with 460 people in attendance. Action Team France, a group of four young people on a BMS gap year, were amongst the volunteers. The event was all about seeing young people engage with God. People were surprised to see that we chose to spend our gap year serving God in France when they could just as well gone travelling abroad, says Hannah. They were excited to see young mission workers. The team also led last year's Christmas service in the church in Gifts-sur-Yvette, where BMS worker Christine Kling is a minister. Over 100 people attended, filling the building to capacity. What an incredible answer to prayer.
BMS World Mission says, "We wanted UK churches to hear what their prayer and financial support was achieving directly from the people who were doing the work. But getting visas to visit the UK is not always easy. Sometimes we even doubted whether our workers from Uganda, Benon Kayanja and Genesis Akaye, and Mozambique worker Carlos Teek Jone would be allowed to visit churches in this country. So we prayed, and we asked you to pray. We waited months, weeks, without permission for all of our African friends to enter the UK. And then, in God's time, the visas were granted, and Benon, Carlos and Genesis set off to visit churches across the UK, telling people about the amazing impact that they are having through BMS work overseas. Without you, BMS wouldn't be able to do this work," said Genesis, who helps farmers get the most from their crops in Uganda. "Really, you are doing the work." Genesis loves to thank BMS supporters, and we want to join the churches our overseas workers visited in thanking them.
We've been asking you to pray for more people to serve in Chad for years, says BMS, and now we're happy to give you the praise report of 6 wonderful workers from Gwynibor too, a BMS-supported hospital in Chad. 6 wonderful people, all serving as long-term BMS workers in this marginalised and under-evangelised country. With the existing G2 team, they'll deliver healthcare to 19,000 people a year. Please continue to pray as we urgently need a second surgeon for this busy hospital.
Time to look over the youth scene again. And Lucy has found a useful source of funding for your youth project.
The All Churches Trust knows that many churches would like to offer activities for children and teenagers but lack the resources to do so. Perhaps your church needs musical instruments for its junior choir, is looking to start a soft play session for toddlers, or wants to transform an underused room or area of its hall into a chill-out zone and cafe, or spiritual space for young people. Maybe you need new books and toys for your children's corner, or equipment for summer sports. From beanbags to interactive Bible study, and consoles and computers to cricket bats, Growing Lives is here to help. Our programme will help fund structural changes too. Whether that's a £100,000 project to convert a building into a state-of-the-art youth centre, or simply upgrading a kitchen or office space to help the young people to develop their life skills. Unfortunately, we're unable to fund running costs, salaries, or one-off events. There is currently no deadline for applications, although funding for the programme is finite and will be kept under review. By funding changes to buildings and new equipment, we aim to enable churches and Christian organisations to engage more effectively in offering support to children and young people aged 0 to 18 and families. Contact them through their website, http://www.allchurches.co.uk/how-to-apply/. Staff, trustees and volunteers all came together at the start of the year for Youth for Christ Conference 2020 in a hotel in Manchester. The first week of January was spent hearing inspiring Bible teaching, engaging in youth-related seminar sessions, sharing fellowship and spending time with God in prayer. The theme of the week was Transform. Leon Evans, lead pastor of the multi-site Life Central Church just outside Birmingham, unpacked the richness and impact of the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. He showed how Paul introduces the idea of calling and drawing us into the process of transformation. At the end of the week of deep thinking, study and prayer, delegates declared that they felt refreshed, encouraged and energised to see more young people's lives being changed by Jesus. Baptist Youth, the organisation for young people in Northern Ireland, invite all young people to Moira Baptist Church on Friday the 5th of April to uncover Easter and discover that Jesus is alive. Between 7 and 8:30 p.m. there will be singing, quizzes, crafts, a photo booth and donuts. It's your chance to hear the evidence for Jesus for yourself. That sounds like quite an evening. Moira Baptist Church is on Clare Hill Road, Moira, in County Down.
Thanks, Lucy.
On March the 21st, Cats Hill Baptist Church presents Philippa Hannah live in concert at 7:30. For tickets, search for An Evening with Philippa Hannah on the Eventbrite website. Each ticket will cost you £5 and the doors open at 7 o'clock. And Cats Hill Baptist Church is in Milton Road, Cats Hill, B610NA.
Claire is back now and reports that Christian Aid is very concerned about reports of climate change and the effect it's having on the planet.
As the world begins to wake up to the dangers of climate breakdown, Christian Aid has launched a campaign calling on the UK government to help address the inequalities in wealth and power that have led to the climate crisis. The fight to avert catastrophic climate change is far from won. However, renewable energy is now competitive on cost with fossil fuels. The issue of climate change is high on the list of public concerns, and we've seen governments setting net zero targets and parliaments declaring a climate emergency. But as the urgency to act on emissions grows, Christian Aid is warning that if we're not careful, the injustice that has seen the world's poor suffering first and worst from climate change may be compounded without ensuring poverty alleviation being at the heart of our response. Alpha Gugsa, who is overseeing the campaign for Christian Aid, said, "We know this New Deal for climate justice is hugely ambitious, but we want to change the parameters of what's possible. This is justified, given that there is now more will than ever to stop this climate crisis. Decision makers need to know this. If they hear us, this could be the year that changes the course of our planet. The history of climate change is one injustice layered upon another for people in the developing world. Whether that be the fact the climate emergency was created by fossil fuel burning in the rich world, or those same countries being slow to act, or them refusing to provide financial support to help poor communities adapt to a crisis they didn't cause. It would be a travesty that if in our hunt for resources to power electric cars or build solar panels, we trample over those that are already suffering. It's time we started putting the most vulnerable people first, not last. This year, the UK has a chance to do that as hosts of the COP26 Climate Summit, the most important such meeting since the Paris Agreement was signed in 2015. Boris Johnson has an opportunity to show the UK cares about people beyond its own borders by first leading by example and then ensuring COP26 in Glasgow delivers an outcome that starts to deliver for the people most in need of it. As on-the-ground situation in northwest Syria continues to deteriorate, Christian Aid is urging the UK government and global leaders for an urgent humanitarian response. Ongoing violence, particularly in the Idlib and Aleppo governorates, has forced 500,000 people from their homes between the 1st of November 2019 and the 2nd of February 2020, following airstrikes and shelling by Syrian and Russian forces. The UN has verified the deaths of 49 civilians in the days between the 1st and the 5th of February, of which 17 were children. A Christian Aid local partner in Syria, who cannot be named for security reasons, said, "The need for humanitarian truce is urgent, and the increase in humanitarian response is vital." Another partner reminded us that this is a tragedy repeated every year with the total silence of the international community, who seem to have forgotten about Syria. Mairead Collins, Christian Aid's senior advocacy advisor for Syria, said, "It is absolutely vital that action is taken to stop the violence and potentially save the lives of millions of civilians who've been forced from their homes. In 2016, we stood with Aleppo and said we would not let such violence happen again. But it has happened again, over and over. We have a responsibility to the people of Syria to stand with them, take action, and call for an end to this ongoing violence."
Thank you, Claire.
The Great Commission calls us to make disciples of all nations. But what does that actually mean? To find out, you could attend the Discipleship Training Day at Yardley Baptist Church on the 7th of March between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. The day is run by DNA Leadership Training in partnership with Fresh Streams Leaders Network. It'll cost you a tenner to book online at www.yardleybaptist.co.uk.
And now Phil returns with news of a UK tour by a very popular gospel band.
As mentioned last month, Wren Collective are touring the UK later this year. Here are the dates and venues, starting at the O2 Academy in Birmingham on the 17th of September. They then move down the M5 to Bristol for the 18th, again at the O2 Academy. On the South Coast, they visit Bournemouth on the 19th, and then a long trip to Newcastle upon Tyne on Sunday the 20th of September. Both of those are at O2 Academy, so let's hope the lights aren't against them. They have a break then until they come up to Baptist Voice territory and visit the O2 Apollo on the 22nd of October, and then on the 23rd they carry on north to the O2 Academy in Glasgow. They hop on the ferry then back home to Northern Ireland for a date at the SSE Arena in Belfast on the 24th, and finally it's down south to Dublin for the last day of the tour, 25th of October at the Olympia Theatre in Dublin. Well, with a couple of exceptions, all those concerts start at 6:30. The two exceptions are the Manchester dates, which start at 7:30, and the Dublin events, which starts at 7 o'clock. Obviously, we couldn't let the occasion pass without marking the release of their newest song, Sing It From the Shackles. New for 2020, this is Just a Snatch.
Sing it from the shackles, sing it from the chains, sing it from the trenches, sing it through the pain. There's a soul rising up, can you hear the freedom sound? Sing it from the shackles, we're gonna sing it loud.
Collective's latest release, Sing It From The Shackles. Try to get to see them if you can. Their faith is deep and they are amazing musicians.
News of Rend Collective, and if possible we must try and get to see them when they come to Manchester.
If you fancy a giggle or two, there's a comedy night at the Southport Theatre on Saturday the 28th of March at 8 p.m. Big Comedy UK, the people behind the Southport Comedy Festival, have joined forces with Waterfront Southport to bring you a night of top-class comedy on the last Saturday of every month. See four of the finest stand-ups from the international comedy circuit in one fantastic night of comedy for just £15. Featuring on the 28th of March is the Reverend Alan Finnegan, the minister at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Netherton. Call the box office on 033 3344 5000 or visit the website www.waterfrontsouthport.co.uk.
Katie's back now with more from the colleges, and this time we find her up in Scotland.
The Scottish Baptist College recently welcomed a visiting professor, Ross Duchar from Denmark. He led the students through an exploration of spirituality in unusual places. He has made a special study in America, Scotland and Denmark of spirituality and gang masculinity. Professor Duchar explored ideas relating to the avoidance of reoffending and reforming prisoner behaviour. He has worked with gangs for many years, and his academic work, Gangs and Spirituality, Global Perspectives, is available online through Amazon and Kindle for £65.94. However, his talk to the students was recorded, and you can listen to it on the SBC website for free. www.scottishbaptistcollege.org/Ross-Duchar-DEUCHAR-spirituality-in-unusual-places-journeys-in-gang-masculinity. There's lots happening at the Irish Baptist College in Moira, Belfast. For instance, they are holding an open night at the college on Thursday the 23rd of April, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, there's the Women's Ministry course. That's from 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. There are a series of evening classes in Moira, Belfast and Ballymena. The Ladies' Study Fellowship meets on Thursdays at the college from 10:15 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. Most of those sessions are already underway, but you can find out more about them by contacting the college on 0289 261 9267. Also on the Irish College website, they publish blogs related to the college. If you're looking for an inspirational story, read the blog of Pablo Campuzano, who was studying to be a translator in Algeciras in southern Spain. when he met a couple of people, and now he's studying theology at the Baptist College, swapping, as he says, the hot sunshine of Spain for the liquid sunshine of Ireland. In Amsterdam, the International Baptist Theological Study Centre are setting up a new learning network. It's a new collaborative venture which aims to deliver high-quality, accessible, inclusive, grounded, theological education focused on the missional opportunities of those in Baptist education and leadership across the European Baptist Federation region. The learning network will be a blended learning fellowship with on-site learning and digital learning methods. We heard last month about Tom Arabis, who will take care of the digital side of the venture. This month, we meet a Dutch theologian, Ingeborg Tolu, who studied theology at Ede and gained her master's degree at IBTS in Amsterdam and will be the coordinator for the network. She's going to work 2 days a week at IBTS and the rest of the time at the Dutch Baptist Seminary. Always keen to show the human side of their staff, the Scottish Baptist College have revealed that their assistant principal, Lena Toth, has made a collection of photographs of restroom signs. These signs have been posted on Instagram. To what end, we're not altogether sure.
Not being on Instagram, I can't really pass comment on that, but thanks, Katie. Ralph will be here in a little while with the Baptist Voice small print, but before that, here's Lindsay with more news from the regions.
Over the last 7 years, the Baptist churches in Plymouth have gone through a relationship revolution. The ministers have committed as a cluster, so that when a new minister moves to the area, we always make sure we hold some kind of event to welcome them. When I mention that the cluster here meets weekly, you can always see the look of disbelief in their face. Our discussions seem real on a deep level, not just what's happening in our churches, but we share how life is. Because we meet so regularly, some of the potentially superficial how are yous is replaced by more appropriate and searching questions. We laugh together, poke fun at one another, including continually referring to one of our group as the worst preacher in Plymouth due to a throwaway comment someone once made. We cry and hurt together, and we eat together. It sounds a lot, but it is one of the most genuine groups of ministers I have ever had the privilege of being part of. Is it perfect? No. Could it be better? Yes. But we are working on that, and I know that in the good times and in the hard times, I will always have Tuesday lunchtime to share life with people who I know will support each other. Not just to meeting monthly, but weekly, gathering to pray with each other and eat together. A sizeable cake and an even bigger note of thanks greeted Philip Cook's 90th birthday recently. Philip is our union's honorary tax advisor, a voluntary role in which he has served for more than 30 years. He was accorded the title at the behest of then Deputy General Secretary Douglas Sparks in around 1985. In the role, Philip, a lifelong Baptist, has written pages of advice for various editions of our taxation guidance leaflets and our regular Transform publication. As well as providing individual support to our ministers, church treasurers, associations, and the union itself. Philip says, "I specialise in taxation as a chartered accountant and partner in one of the big four accountancy firms, and I guess that once bitten, it gets into the blood. It certainly helps to keep the grey matter active." Philip's work may not be very visible, but it's hugely important, said Richard Wilson, BU Support Service team leader. Offering his congratulations on Philip's birthday milestone, Richard wrote, "I have no way of knowing how much money you have saved our Baptist family over the years, but I would not be surprised if it was well over £1 million. That's a lot of funding provided for ministry work." The Bible is full of stories where God acts to turn a challenging situation into an opportunity to further his kingdom. And I believe our fellowship is at such a point in time. The West Craven Baptist Fellowship is a group of three small churches on a journey to become one, But with declining numbers and an ageing congregation, we are challenged as we consider our future, writes Julie Bryan. I was raised in one of these churches on the Lancashire-Yorkshire border, and after moving away to university, I returned to the area with my husband and family. Over the last few years, I felt called to church leadership, but not the traditional role of minister. Taking part in the Arthur Rank Germinate Leadership course developed my leadership skills. In 2018, I was invited to attend a gathering of Northern Pioneers at Scargill House, led by Roy Searle, Simon Hall and Simon Goddard. Spending time with established and emerging pioneers was hugely encouraging, hearing stories of God at work in many different expressions of church gave me hope for our community. I returned home challenged by the question, was God calling me to pioneer in West Craven? After much prayer and conversation with leaders in the fellowship and pioneers in the newly founded YBA learning community, I decided to test the call by applying for ministerial recognition and seeking training as a pioneer minister. As I look to the future, I'm hopeful and excited to see what God will do as we reach out to those outside the walls of our churches. I wonder what we'll learn as obstacles are encountered, and I pray that God will give us the courage to take risks as we step out of our comfort zone and discover different ways of being church. A number of churches across Baptist Together function without a full-time minister, while some do not even have a minister at all. Recognising this as the reality for around half the churches across the region, the Northwestern Baptist Association has developed a couple of initiatives to support those who have taken on the baton of ensuring there is a Baptist presence in their communities. Latchford is a monthly learning day for people who have assumed a strong leadership role in a church. The person who, to all intents and purposes, is now undertaking a local recognised ministry role, but is not recognised as such. The day seeks to equip them with skills and learning appropriate for their everyday context. It stems from the principle, what is it that you need to equip you? The day set up by team leader Phil Jump has covered both the practical, such as how to take a funeral or change management, to deeper reflection on who we are in Christ.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thanks to all our contributors. We'll all be back again at the first week of April. But for now, as well as the tapes or CDs or memory sticks supplied to qualifying members, Baptist Voice is available online at www.baptistvoice.co.uk or as a podcast from iTunes for you to download and keep. If you know of anyone who is visually impaired and would appreciate a copy of Baptist Voice, you can contact us at baptistvoice13@gmail.com or write to us at Baptist Voice, care of Greenfield Church, Urmston, Manchester, M410TY. Baptist Voice is sponsored by the Northwest Baptist Association, and all the items included are either in the public domain or reproduced with the copyright holder's permission. If we've missed a copyright notice somewhere along the line, do let us know and we'll remove the offending item immediately.
Stephen, our chaplain, is with us now and it appears he's been reading the papers.
There were two news stories in the past few weeks that caught my eye, both of them about celebrities. The first was about the TV presenter Philip Schofield, one of my childhood heroes, who came out as being gay, despite having been married for 27 years. Now, I don't want to get into the debates about homosexuality here and now, but what struck me about what he said was, firstly, the guilt he confessed to feeling about what this would do to his family. Secondly, the support he seemed to receive from that family, his colleagues, and the public. And thirdly, when he said, you never know what's going on in someone's seemingly perfect life. The second story was much more tragic. A week after Schofield's statement, the Love Island presenter Caroline Flack was found dead, having killed herself. Before Christmas, she'd been arrested for allegedly attacking her boyfriend, and the full details of her dark times had been played out across the tabloid front pages and on social media, where she'd received some horrendous abuse. I don't want to defend what she was accused of having done. Domestic abuse is always wrong, and nothing can excuse it. But it seemed to me that here was a woman who was in a genuinely bad place, who needed help and support badly, but who felt she wouldn't find it. You never know what's going on in someone's life. In the aftermath of Flack's death, one of the phrases that went around was, "Be kind," and Philip Schofield had asked the same thing in his statement. And this was tied into this idea that you never know what's going on in someone's life, what's bubbling under beneath the surface. But actually, being kind can be hard. When it's someone who seems to have done something terrible, it's hard to be kind. When someone seems to have acted against the values we hold and that we believed they held, it's hard to be kind to them. When someone hurts us or wrongs us, even if we know that on some level they're troubled, it can still be hard to be kind to them. And yet, perhaps we know that something needs to change. There seems to be so much hatred, so much anger around, so many ways for people to make other people's lives a misery. If being kind is so hard, then what else is there? Well, there's always grace. Grace isn't just being kind, which can become just saying nice, meaningless words if we're not careful. Grace is how God deals with us, not hiding the truth about our failings, but refusing to treat us just according to those failings. In fact, grace does so much more than that. Through grace, we find God giving us much more than we could ever deserve, treating us more kindly than we could ever ask for. Grace forces us to face up to the fact that all too often the problem isn't with others. It's with ourselves. But then it offers us a way forward, reminding us that we are lavishly loved by God and inviting us to enter into that love and to be transformed by it. Imagine a world where we respond to others in grace, where hurts can be faced up to and healed rather than argued about on Twitter, where people are reconciled to each other rather than driven apart, where people aren't condemned but are helped to let go of the things that they do and say that hurt other people and themselves. We know we need this grace in our world more than ever. And perhaps it's down to you and me, people who've already received and known this grace, to sow its seeds in the world so that God will water them and bring them to fruition. Let us pray. God of all grace, you loved us before we could ever love you. You sent your Son Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. You drew us to yourself before we could ever come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your endless grace, your desire to forgive sins and to draw all people back to yourself. And we ask, gracious God, that your grace would flood our world once again, that you would change our hearts, helping us to let go of bitterness and resentment, of the desire to be proved right and to put others down. Help us to remember that no one is outside of your love, no matter what they have done or said, and that you long to draw all people back to yourself. Through your Holy Spirit, may we treat others in the same way that you treat us, showing them what your grace looks like in reality, so that they might turn back to you, and your healing and love might take root in their lives and in our world. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus, who shows us your grace in the most wonderful way. Amen.